of the outcome. Boost of positive energy without one. Sorry by the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers in a fresh shrubs. Call me private.
Oh yeah, welcome to episode 103 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we talk about permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Good. This is episode 102.
Negative. 103, because 102 was with
That was
Tiffany.
A bonus episode.
Yeah, but okay. It's 103 now. We might as well start counting them in.
It's still 102.
Okay, it's 103 because...
Dad, look at the thing.
No, I'm well aware of it. I just figured that interview with Tiffany would have been 102.
Well, they haven't counted. Those side interviews haven't counted as an episode so far. They've been bonus episodes.
Okay, let me make the correction on the doggone sheet. So we're going to call this 102, y'all. Anyway, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, Heaven's Harvest, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Those seeds down there are booming, and I mean 100% germination, y'all. Need anything preparedness-wise? That's where you want to go, Heaven's Harvest. And don't forget, you can tip a pimp over there on the Fountain app, where you can listen to all your podcasts, and if you so desire, you can drop a little bit of jingle over there. But in lieu of everything else going on, in lieu of that, I'd rather you strongly consider checking out the Kentucky Sustainable Living event, October 28th and 29th. Going to be a dinner there, a VIP dinner. And you know what? That VIP dinner is going to wind up a lot better than those trans testicles I saw dancing on the White House lawn.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it didn't help that I just saw that like 5 minutes before there. I'm pretty sure that ain't, you got bare chested trans testicles and that flipping moron in the White House says, oh, you're the bravest people I've ever met. Oh, is that right? That's right. I guess you do have to have a certain level of bravery to get your junk chopped off. But I'm sitting out here.
I don't think that's bravery, Dad.
I'm like, they're flying this flag over the White House for 1% of the population. And I'm sitting here like, okay, when's Farmer's Day going to be?
Dad, you know, we shut down the whole world for less than 1% of the population.
Yeah, well, you got a point there. But honestly, you ain't going to see no trans testicles walking around half naked on the White House lawn. I mean, you would think that the solemnity of any occasion at the White House would have these fools behave with a little more sense. And I'm like, first of all, am I seeing this?
3 minutes in, Dad's already
Am I seeing
up.
This? I'm like, am I really seeing this? I'm like, okay, hey, y'all, show's over. Get your house in order. Turn this thing off. Go get all the storable food, because I'm telling you what, you got this at the highest levels right here at the United States of Amnesia. This is the kind of junk they did right before the fall of Rome, okay? This is what happened when the Babylonians fell, I'm sure. When the Greeks fell, the Medo-Persian Empire. I mean, this level of depravity at the White House, and you got this fool up here saying, oh, you're the bravest people I've ever met. Man, and then somebody's obviously going to write in and say, oh, you shouldn't be saying that. You know what? I'm an American. I'm an American first. And I'm just floored that children are going to see this garbage. Look, man, I guess we just get on with the show at this point. Oh, where was I? Okay.
So tip of the day is don't look at the news before recording a Pimpcast.
Yeah, you got that right. I literally looked at this like 3 minutes before, and I'm thinking, okay. And of course, what if some trans testicle jumped up at this Kentucky Sustainable Living thing? And, you know, I can see Shelly over there with a baseball bat taking one of them out. I mean, obviously, this isn't the place where trans testicles hang out. But I'm like, for crying out loud, man, boy, we better get our houses in order, y'all. So, hey, back to that Heaven's Harvest and that 10% off. You might want to consider that EMP shield. All the preparedness stuff that we got going right now, you might want to think about putting some on lock.
Any other country who has nuclear weapons and just saw that happen is probably thinking, oh, that's an easy target.
Yeah, and you're seeing this trans testicle shimmy and shaking up here. You got the president of the, well, the fake president of the United States of Amnesia up here, and this little freakazoid, can't even pull it together long enough to just, hey, just give me the photo op. You over here like sashaying up and down here. I don't care if these were straight people. I don't care what they were. You would think they're just being at the White House. I just want to know when Farmer's Day is going to be.
Yeah,
when are we going to get the invite
that's
there?
That's a good point.
How about Regeneration Day? You know, hey, we got people out here showing people how to regenerate, not sustain, that these, you know, lunatics on the hard left say. No, we're talking about regeneration. Man, let me just get on with it. All right. Yeah, I guess so much for that tip of the day, son. I think you just gave it right there.
Tip of the day.
Yeah, we'll call that the tip of the day. So let me just take a deep breath here. All right. So, farm news. Messing up a whole lot of bone sauce right now, not just because. Man, I am messing up a whole lot. I mean, it is not cheap to make this stuff. And when you sit here and screw up two batches, I mean, I haven't screwed up any in for I don't know how long. And then here it is, back to back, screwed up. And this ain't cheap. Like I said, y'all, there's a reason this stuff costs money, because it ain't cheap to make. And then when you screw up a batch, it's not like you get a whole lot of second chances. I screwed up two of them back to back, and now I'm working on number three. Oh, man, I should have prayed
for Dad, because he's having a rough one today.
Man, if apparently. I go out there right now, if I did that whole burn, I'm taking this whole house out. I'm burning everything, dude. I mean, I'm just, man, yeah, maybe this ain't the house that ought to get burned down, you know?
Yeah, if y'all don't see a video come out tomorrow, you know what happened. Man.
Well, you know, I'm invariably going to get somebody that's going to write in and say, well, dude, you run your mouth a little reckless on your YouTube channel, especially on your podcast. Of course, I get those, and half the time I ignore them. You know what, Jack? For all you lunatic marchies out there that are going to write in and tell me this, what good is it having a YouTube channel? What good is it having a podcast if we are destined to the dustbin of history? And this is where it leads. It's this kind of depravity that gets us there. And frankly, you know, Jimmy crack corn and I don't care, because Jimmy's out there smoking crack and nobody cares. All right, so back to this bone sauce, man. Yeah.
So bone sauce ain't working right now. Or yeah. If the bone sauce works, it just can't get it made right now.
Well, okay, so on the happier thing. So as far as planting seeds and stuff, I'm out here putting out Trombocinos. Ben Holler a while back gave me one of these Kasuzi squashes. Well, you know, took the seeds out, ate it, and saved all those seeds. So I got like half of them put back. The ones that weren't fantastic, I used them for guerrilla gardening.
Yeah.
And then the other part I put up there in the, what do we call that? Pimp level two up there.
Oh, yeah, the terrace?
Yeah, we put it on the terrace up there. And I know that Trombocinos will do it great in lousy soil. So I put them up there with the expectation of, hey, you know, I'm hoping something happens. So we got those up there along with some Cherokee Tans. Got those from Deep South Homestead. Man, it's my favorite. It's one of those pumpkins. If somebody ever serves you pumpkin that came out of a can after you have one of these.
Oh, yeah. It's pumpkins, like, and I think the worst one by far are beets.
Yeah.
Like the fresh version compared to the canned version isn't even the same doggone vegetable.
Well, especially with these Cherokee Tans, man. When you taste those, they have this pumpkin-y aromatic flavor that is just on steroids.
Like if you take a bite of it, chew it for a little bit, and then exhale through your nose, it's like a
aromatic. It's got a hang time.
Yeah. You get a different almost flavor if you exhale through your nose. It's like it's hitting a different part of whatever. I don't know. I think I saw that on a sommelier documentary or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what it does. But, I mean, even just smelling it when your mom's cooking it down. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then also, let's be honest, man. Those I put a lot of those Kushaw squashes out there, too. Them suckers get up to, like, 40 pounds sometimes.
Yeah.
And they, you know, all these things I'm talking about, y'all, for preparedness, they keep for a very, very, very long time. I'm hoping to produce. I'm growing a lot of them here for a couple of reasons. Number one, your mom said something the other day. She even kind of mentioned it in the YouTube video that we are like growing records amounts of food this year.
Oh, yeah.
She just feels the compulsion to do it. And part of it is also for all the people out there who want these seeds, they're telling me, hey, I can't find this seed. I can't find that. I want to grow so much because we eat them and then, of course, keep the seeds. That's a little bit of work, but I want to make sure, just like with the comfrey. Mm. Now, we charge money for that, but I want to get to the point where all these seeds, I can send them out to whoever wants them. Because these are things that not only taste fabulous, they keep for a very, very, very long time. I mean, till we ate that last Kushal out there, that sucker must have been sitting about 8 months, and it was completely fine.
It's been
out
there for a while. You just have to make sure it didn't like have access to any kind of heat, or else they start rotting.
Yeah, yeah. So if it's like hot, cold, yeah. You know. But I mean, good night, man. These things were, I mean, they're fantastic. So I want to try to. That's part of what I want to do is not only we'll can a lot of this stuff, we're going to freeze dry a lot of this stuff, but I want to have so many seeds because so many people ask, and I'm like, man, I just don't have extra to send out.
Yeah.
You know, so that's part of what I want to do.
We will probably in a couple of years, though, because, I mean, one of those squashes puts out a ton of seeds.
Yeah. So. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And then so, each seed puts out an indefinite amount of squash.
Whereas, well, we sell Comfrey, if we charge anything for seeds, it's going to be, you know, just maybe a little bit more than postage is what I'm thinking. Because I just want, there's some of these things out here, y'all, that are really survival foods that will keep you and your family going in the worst of times. And everything I just mentioned there, and there's a bunch more. And I'm going to try to grow a lot of those so we can just, I'd love to be able to send out like a thank you pack to everybody on Patreon or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
You know, where I got a series of our version of survival seeds.
Instead of survival seeds, pimp seeds.
Pimp seeds, yeah.
Pimp
that's
your
what I'm
yard.
Talking about. Yeah, where, you know, these things will keep forever and a day because that's the beauty of a lot of these things. They will keep at room temperature. So as soon as, you know, the EMP or whatever else goes off, because we sure seem to be in an all-fired rot. Okay, I'm not going to go down that road again. All right, other farm news. So we were down there treating this sick sheep. Look, I mean, she came about that close to going in the freezer today, but I told your mom, I said, look, she hadn't done it. I said, look, throw your elixir on the sheep and let's see what happens. She did it yesterday, and that sheep is coming. Now, it's still going in the freezer. You just got to stay.
Y'all almost got a like a instructional on how to process a sheep today.
Yeah, because I was in there doing that last interview, and I was saying, well, you know, I'm going to process a sheep tomorrow. Then it occurred to me, I said, you know what? Let's just put your mom's talents to the test. Let her do her natural remedy. And sure enough, that sheep is rocking and rolling right now.
Yeah, there's something going on with her feet. I don't know what it is, but it's like her two front feet, she just not completely lame. She doesn't go completely lame, but where she just kind of hobbles around and is hesitant about putting any pressure on it. Where like getting into the sheep tractor, usually she walks up to it or hobbles up to it, looks at it for a little bit, and then kind of musters up the courage to jump over it. This morning, she just ran up to it and jumped over it like she was one of the rest of the sheep.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is not a sheep we want to breed. It's ultimately going to go in the freezer.
Yeah.
But I want to put a little meat on her. And plus, I also want to see that if some of the remediation things that we're doing in the pasture are going to eliminate disease altogether out here. There's a lot of experiments going on here, y'all. Son, I'm like officially on this all meat diet. And yeah. I feel good, man. I'll tell you what, before, I'll be honest, in you know, even the primal diet, man, I would try to put off my first meal, which is usually about 12 or 1 o'clock. I usually just eat twice a day, just lunch and dinner. And I would put it off as long as possible because, man, after I'd eat, I'd get all tired. And I'm like, okay, on this meat diet, man, I'm feeling pretty good. Weight's falling right off of me. I now weigh less than you.
Yeah.
And it's falling right off. I just got to, you know, make sure I'm keeping some kind of muscle tone, but that's going good. Y'all.
I got farm news.
Yeah.
Competing in my first. So last week I got my blue belt in jiu-jitsu and,
Brazilian jiu-jitsu, right?
Yeah. Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And this week I'll be competing in my first blue belt tournament.
All right.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. So don't even come home if you get submitted by a trans testicle.
Yeah. It's in Asheville too. Yeah. So
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. So I'm a little trans testicle. Put you on the mat, son. Yep. Bring all, in fact, take everything with you. All right, y'all. Coming up real soon, July 21st through the 23rd, Heritage Life Skills Conference. William Forston is going to be there. We're also going to be teaching, or at least I will. And really looking forward to that. And hearing, you know, straight from the guy who wrote 1 Second After and all the other books. Still have yet to read his other books, but I got to get that done. And once again, you know, Kentucky Sustainable Living, remember, they're going to have that dinner. That dinner, it's going to be October 28th and 29th, and the proceeds, it's $250 a person. We already bought 2 tickets ourselves, and a number of people, like I said before, the first 10 people that sign up and let me know, that you did. So far, we got two that have done it. Might be more since I've checked my email. Hey, we're going to give you 10, probably 15 minutes on this show. Talk about anything you want. And so we're gonna thank everybody else for that.
Do you guys have a, is there a tip jar or anything where, like, if people can't go, is there a way they can send money or anything like that?
I'm going to ask Shelly and Jason to see if that's anything they could possibly do, because I'm sure there's a number of people that would love to give.
Yeah.
In fact, we have one person that bought a ticket that can't even show up, but they did it for the express purpose to support the cause, y'all. I can't think of anything more important. So, you know. I mean, they're rescuing these kids. The idea is to raise at least $10,000 on this dinner where they can do an op in Kentucky. And I'm hopefully very soon going to be talking to a couple of representatives from Vets for Child Rescue to get some answers. People like Don, you know, good, honest, straight up questions that people like Don had. And I'm going to get him answers. And
do you want to wait on the question?
Well, I want to wait on the question because I don't want to open up a whole flood of other things, because answering his question is likely, almost certainly, going to answer a number of others too.
Okay.
So that's where the dough is going to go. So, y'all, with that said, we're going to need to chase the demons out of this country, y'all. And to help do that right now, we got the homesteading pastor coming up to bat.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. I got one verse of scripture for us today. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We know that this was Paul's charge to young Timothy, to preach the word, to preach the gospel, to accept the call of duty, because he is now the official messenger of the gospel. He is to preach the truth when it feels right, when it don't feel right. He must keep a sense of urgency about himself when the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, when it seems convenient or inconvenient, when he's welcomed or unwelcomed. And he's also charged him to correct those who err in doctrine or behavior, and to warn those who sin, and also to encourage those who are growing towards spiritual maturity with patience and faithful teachings. This reminds me of what my grandpa told me. The last time he ever stepped foot in our church, he died before he ever came back to church, but he stopped and looked me in the eye and told me, "Lon, whatever you do, preach the gospel, preach the word. The culture's going to change. Everything's going to change around you, but the word of God remains the same. Preach the truth." So I plan on preaching it to the day I die. We live in a time now where they won't endure sound doctrine. They want teachers and preachers that have tickled their ears, and they have turned away from the truth in America. But as a true believer in Christ and a true minister of the gospel, we must always preach the word of God and preach it straight down the middle of the road.
Bam.
I wonder what got him fired up about
it. I think honestly, it's a number of things where, you know, Pastor Lon and I would text a little bit more. I mean, I don't get to text nowhere near as much as I do it, because I got educational goals and I got a number of things. So I got to shut down other things in my life. And just frankly, yeah, I mean, he's up to his eyeballs, but honestly, he's texted me before and I've texted him, and it'll be things like the story I started this program with.
Yeah.
That'll honestly, and I'm like, you know what? I don't even know what planet I'm on anymore, where we celebrate the idiots and castigate the intellectuals. And he's right. This whole world, it's like that song. He's an old hippie and he don't know what to do. Should he hang on to the old? Should he grab on to? I know it's a song you don't know, but a number of people out there, that's kind of where I feel right now. Where I'm like, I don't care. I'm resolute on this, that I really do not care what happens to me for speaking up for what I know to be right. I know it's going to be a tough road. It's like I learned way back when that just because you do the right thing doesn't mean you keep your job. So there'd be those of us that would stand up for some injustice or whatever, and then you get laid off or even fired, depending on how it goes. And, you know, you can't bellyache. You know, you wish other people would have stood up with you. And as a little side note, it was always women. Whenever there was something, some injustice that went off, it was always the women that stood up. But it was always the guys that would say, "Well, I got a wife and kids." And then meanwhile, there were single women standing up.
Yeah.
And you've heard me talk about this how many years?
I was little when you were talking about this.
I was like, how is it? And this is years ago. This isn't a new phenomenon where all these women who were, many of which were single moms, not one of them ever said, oh, well, I got kids at home. No, they were standing up for what was right. But every cowardice meow man out there pretending that he's got all this testosterone was like, if I had a nickel for every single time I heard, well, I got a wife and kids, or I got a mortgage. Like this other buddy of mine, Mark Dreiling, used to say, well, I got a catfish. I got a goldfish. I got a cat. I got a dog. I got whatever. But I don't mean to digress, but right there, I feel freaking alone a lot of times in this world.
Well, that's the goal.
When I say I feel alone until I go to one of these festivals. Yeah. And then I find out, you know, and I'm not saying you got to be the Christian, American, heterosexual, pro-gun, liberty-minded permaculture designer I am. I'm not saying that. If you're all about freedom, then guess what? We got it, just about the most important part in a secular point of view in common.
Yeah.
Okay, the other part that I consider more important, you know, I'm not so sanctimonious. Look, I'm not, and I never was. I wasn't always a do-gooder in my life. In fact, I've, you know, almost certainly have a worse history than most of the people listening to this. So I'm not on my high horse. I just know that this world is changing around me in record time, and I've never seen anything like it. And I cringe when I think about the kids that are being brought up in this environment, especially in the public schools where all these so-called teachers out there, and there are some good ones, are indoctrinating these kids with this garbage. Anyway, didn't mean to get on my high horse a couple of times in this program, y'all, but
20 minutes in.
Yeah, so let me just go on to the bad news as if I didn't already talk about it.
I can see the volume waves in the GarageBand app that we're recording where Dad's gone off a few times.
No, man, it's just one of them days where I got an enormous amount of work done today. So did you. You've done some extraordinary things today. Your mom, too. We all got a lot done.
Yeah,
It was just one of those days, I mean, where, you know, in fact, in this all-meat diet, it makes cooking a lot easier because you can kind of, I mean, it's just meat, you know. I need is some meat and salt. So we can just cook a bunch of stuff. And then, honestly, it's good in a lot of other ways. Maybe I'll talk about that more in the future. But right here from the Hill, cancer rates are climbing among young people. It's not clear why. Okay, I'm just going to leave it right there. It's not clear why, huh? But these rates all started just a couple of years ago when a couple of things were introduced onto the scene. I'm going to leave it right there. You know, we got enough wise and smart people out in this audience to know exactly there might be a little bit of correlation there. All right, so good news. Oh, yeah, this just, speaking of jacked up teachers, check this one out. This is good news, y'all. Massachusetts middle school students revolt against teacher-led Pride Month deviancy. They tear down the signs. They tear down signs and flags while chanting, quote, USA are my pronouns, unquote. These are kids that did this, y'all.
Sounds like a little Lord of the Flies situation going
and
on
hey,
over there.
Let's have more of it. Let's have more of it. You got the people that are supposed to be, think about this, how back when I used to watch TV, son, think about this. They would have on Food Network, that's basically when we did have TV, that was all we ever watched anyhow.
Food Network or like the Discovery section.
Yeah, whenever, you know, before it got in the, you know, a bunch of nonsense and the History Channel, that was pretty much all that was ever watched. But, you know, I found it curious. Even back then, I was like, huh. Worst Kick Cooks in America was one of them shows they had.
Mm-hmm.
All of it, adults. And then they had Kids Chopped on there.
Yeah.
Kids are doing Chopped Chef things, but you got Worst Cooks in America as adults. Now, yeah, I know what they do on TV, but it's also kind of, you know, leading right back to this story.
Well, you can see how that prefaced the whole, what was that, Greta woman?
Yeah,
where
Greta
where the kids are like,
how dare you?
Yeah,
that little
Greta
breathy.
Thunberg. Yeah, where she's then like getting on to the adults in that one speech she did.
Yeah,
I mean they kind of set it up for the scenarios like that with the Kids Chopped and then the worst cooks in America being adults.
And then here it is, you got these kids, man. Thank God for the youth, man. This is right when I thought we lost it all, y'all. I see a story like this, and it just gave me. I mean, it just. Every time I turn around, it was like interviewing Tiffany the other day. That kid, man, she gave me, and folks, give her some love. I, you know, go check out her website. I think we left all her contact information.
Yeah,
there.
And there have been a couple people that have commented that they have so far.
Yeah, I, you know, she gave me such incredible hope. She didn't give you the whole story, y'all, but I'm telling you what. Here's a young lady, not unlike myself, but she is doing something, and there was a whole lot of, there's things that we didn't talk about in the interview that maybe we will next time we get her on, where, especially where she is in Oklahoma, and believe me, I grew up in the same place, she's had to work twice as hard, had to be twice as good to get beekeeping knowledge, had to go everywhere to get this, at, you know, a lot of it, a great expense to herself to learn how to butcher. And I hear somebody like that where I'm like, where every single deck everywhere is stacked against her, and she is doing extraordinary things and carving this out there. Well, you know what she's doing? She's also telling a whole lot of other young women out there. And folks, please let your young girls hear that interview. That you don't have to be resigned to what everybody else tells you you should be. This girl is out there getting it done. And that's why, man, it just gave me such joy to know that as soon as I found out what she was doing, like Darren said, he said, yeah, dude, you're going to have to talk to this girl. And I'm like, okay, yeah. I mean, Darren's telling me I definitely need to pay attention.
Yeah, y'all got to check out her website and see her, like, her trailer set up.
Yeah.
Dang, that thing is cool.
Yeah, but just like, you know, where I thought, where I run in, son, I don't run into a whole lot of people like you, but when I do, I'm like, man, I wanna shout it from the rooftops. I want to give you every opportunity I can to tell the world what you're doing, because it's only going to encourage others. We need to see the good examples out there, and you and her and a short list of others that I know actually fit the bill. So that is definitely good news. All right, so on to other good news, 6 tree bark remedies you can use as survival medicine. All right, y'all, so this is an article came from Natural News. So maple, you know, none of these are really hard to find. Maple has anti-cancer properties. Birch, I wonder how many pharmaceuticals they made out of the following. Birch has anti-inflammatory and plus anti-cancer properties. Black cherry, we know that it can be a little bit toxic to your...
Black cherry?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you're... supposedly, we heard, like, if a branch breaks off and then your animals eat the leaves, then your animals will start dying.
Yeah.
But we haven't... Like, our animals have grazed all around mountain... cherry. They call it mountain cherry around here. They've grazed all around them and not a single issue.
Because it just goes to show you, just like, you know, Sean and Beth Doherty talk about, just like a number of others, Sepp Holzer, grow a lot of poisonous things out there. Sometimes, in today's legal environment, let me say it this way. We don't do a whole lot about the things that are poisonous. Because if they have a healthy environment, they will only partake of it what they need when they need it. They will only gorge themselves 9 times out of 10 if they don't have something they can eat. So birch, anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer, black cherry, respiratory illness. It helps on that. Slippery elm, dealing with skin issues. And then I'm just giving you one of many things these things do. And then white pine, the bark is also a great vitamin C source.
Slippery elm. You know what that reminded me of?
Slippery Dan. Dan. Yeah. We had a chicken named Slippery Dan. We had a rooster named Slippery Dan, and he sleeps with the fishes because he ended up getting stupid on us. White willow, natural aspirin, you know. So there's other options out there, y'all. So consider these other things. All right, y'all, when we get back, straight into the main topic. All right, welcome back. Want to give a hat tip to Van Tesla, particularly Joel Thomas, man. He was on with Tony the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And that was I sent him a text last night because that's when I listened to it. I mean, you may not agree with everything, but my goodness, you talk about being prepared for a show.
Yeah, he came, like, it makes me wonder sometimes, where does he go to even find some of this information?
No,
or like, or some of it, like, okay, did you get that at your Masonic Lodge there? Was that a hidden book that you found over there?
No, man, I think honestly, he and that's why I love having him on the show, because this guy walks the talk. I mean, you know, like, why eat, sleep, drink permaculture? This is what he does on some of this esoteric stuff. And when I say Tony, the name of the program is The Confessionals.
Right.
And Joel's, of course, is called
Kill the Mockingbirds.
So, man, when I heard, it was a riveting show. It really was. So I wanted to give a hat tip for that. And also providing the music, a very talented guy. And then I realized, you know what? He lives up in Ohio. I actually was going to send him a text like, hey, man, next time I'm up that way, maybe we ought to go check out all these Nephilim mounds that are in Ohio.
Oh, I'm sure. I think he has been there.
Oh, I'm sure he has.
But like on another note with his music, he puts out music all the time. He is constantly working.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is constant. And then plus all of his, I mean, he does like multiple podcasts. He does like his music. He also has a day job. I mean, he's busy.
Yeah, he wears a lot of hats, but I'm very thankful that he offers his music up. And we're going to have to switch it up a little bit, use some of his other music in there, too.
Okay.
But, yeah, hey, y'all, so EMP Shield, $50 off. I think I provided in this show all the reasons you might want to consider one. But, yeah, for me, the EMP Shield on the vehicle is to get my butt back to Billy's Jungle Palace of Love if something jumps off. And also the one for the house, your number one. Look, I'm a journeyman electrician for 25 years, okay? And I'm here to tell you, the number one reason why you want a transient voltage surge suppressor in your house is, yeah, it's nice if you have an EMP and you could, you know, if it's a localized EMP and you can shunt it to ground before it blow, you know, tears up everything. But your number one threat out there is lightning. That is, and then plus they got a $25,000 guarantee if that thing doesn't do what it's supposed to.
Yeah.
So you don't even have to call your insurance or, you know, use them both. I mean, honestly, with the way things are going, y'all, I'm going to be protected. So anyway, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. All right, so we're going to switch gears quite a bit. Usually I have the tip tie into the main topic, but yeah, it didn't quite go as planned today. So we're just going to drive on. All right. So we've talked about it before in previous episodes, but I keep hearing this, either it's in the comments in the YouTube channel, on some of the guerrilla gardening things. This is why I'm going to revisit it, I think, in a different way. Provide perhaps a little more than I did before, where we talked about getting property. It was one of our earliest episodes.
Yeah.
You know, how to
acquire property.
So you might want to go back and listen to that if you haven't. I don't know what episode that is, but
I think
it's
like two or three.
Yeah, it's early on. It's early on, and we still, you know, we're kind of learning the ropes about all this thing. But I'm going to try to hit it in another way today. Because when I'm doing this guerrilla gardening thing, people respond like, hey, well, you know, I don't have access to this. Look, first of all, listen to what Tiffany said the other day. She didn't tell herself one time, I can't do this, even though I'm flat broke. So let's get out of this limiting, this BS. Yes, and it means exactly what you think it does. Belief systems. You got to stop it. You got to honestly stop it. You got to go ahead and say, look, instead of going in all the reasons why I can't go out here and do all this, because look, I own plenty of land in multiple states. I don't have to do this. I'm doing it out there to show that it can be done. I don't need the views. There's 10,000 other things we could film right here where a lot of other folks say, hey, I can't figure out what to film. That's never a problem for us. 365 is actually beating off the things we can film. So we have been putting a high, when we told you at New Year's that we were going to kick things up on this channel, I wasn't kidding. And I hope you see it in our YouTube and in the podcast as well. The idea being that we didn't really talk about gardening systems so much because so many other people do it. But, you know, my friend Granny said, well, we want to see how you're doing it. So we put a bigger emphasis on it. And in light of all the things that are going on, we're talking about, hey, how to acquire property in this place, how to do this, how to do that. So we're going to go into it a little bit more. So, folks, please stop sending me emails about what you can't do.
Yeah.
All right. Please quit doing that because you're limiting your own abilities just by doing that. Wake up in the morning, say, this is a day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And in everything, speak positivity all the way around. In fact, read the book of James, and you're going to understand what I'm talking about.
If you're sending in emails, like giving us reasons why you can't do something, you're just looking for confirmation that you can't do it. You're not looking for solutions. If you're looking for a solution, flat out say, hey, I have this issue, and I can't figure it out. That's what you can't do right there is figure it out. Which,
nine times out of ten, these are not difficult problems.
Yeah.
These are not difficult problems. I am working from when I get up in the morning until I go to bed at midnight a lot of times. And I'm thinking, okay, what could I do that is going to help the most people out there? There's really cool videos that we could do that we're not doing because it is more important in these times for everybody to grow food. We grow a lot of it. We produce a lot of it. We got more than we can use, and we give a lot away. So let me get down to it. I didn't mean to. Boy, everything about this show has been going off key. So acquiring property. Okay, obviously you can go to the person next door. Let's say you live in a postage stamp. Go up and down that street. If you get to know, these days nobody knows their neighbors, but if you do, go out there when you're working, maybe introduce yourself. If they're doing a little lawn cleanup, maybe at your place, if it's a small place and a small yard, think about what you can grow there, okay? So let's say you can grow a apple, a peach, and a pear, and that's all you can do.
Yeah.
Maybe go to your neighbor and say, look, okay, I got an apple, peach, and a pear at my place. Maybe, hey, I got a great idea. And I got an apple, peach, and a pear. I'm going to pimp it out in the same way that I saw this bomb YouTube channel called Permapastures Farm. Instead of just growing those trees in isolation, I'm going to put some comfrey out there. I'm going to put some blueberries out there. I'm going to put some herbs out there. I'm going to put it all within this system called a food forest, or better still, if it's in your front yard, we'll call it an orchard, okay? So go over there, speak this permaculture, forgive my use of the word, but we'll call it gospel because gospel means good news. So you tell your neighbor about it. I say, look, I got these three over here, and they really grow great in this environment. I'll tell you what, why don't you grow different cultivars of the same exact stuff?
Yeah, same species.
Apple, peach, and pear, maybe you grow different cultivars of the same species, and guess what? I'll hook you up, you hook me up. The berries you grow, maybe you grow a different type than me. And we can share our harvest with one another. And if you do it right, maybe mine come around in the early part of summer. Maybe yours come out in midsummer. And maybe we go down and hit Joe Blow down the street, get them to do another one that comes out. So we got fruit all summer long. And because this one tree, if I do it right, is going to produce more than I could possibly eat. Look, you get the ore. Let's say it goes wrong with mine. Then maybe if your harvest comes through, I think you get the point.
To drive the point even further, remember that interview that Jeff Lawton did with Eric in New York City?
Yeah.
Yeah, Eric Sider's channel. Check that out. He went there and it's a city full of concrete. And he went there and saw nothing but opportunity to grow.
Right.
And that's in New York City. So right. if you're living in an apartment in, let's use Eric as an example again. Like, if you're living in an apartment in Dallas, that's still not an example.
Well,
Eric's an excuse.
Well, he's in California now, but William's talking about some of the early videos he did where he's on a balcony and he is blowing it up. So he couldn't eat the sweet potatoes, but he could doggone eat the
facing vines east.
That came off. Yeah, and he had a pond out there, for crying out loud. Yeah. I mean, he was doing, man, my man he's squared away, y'all. So if you need a consultation, check out Eric Sider. Link down below. Also, we need to get him back on this program. But anyway, so if you're in a situation like that where you're limited, think about the redundancy you just created. Think about what it'll do for the other people that aren't yet on board. Maybe they would be on board, but you also have to have this agreement like, hey, we're not going to spray junk and poison on our lawns. So yeah, that'll be your qualifying thing there. But you would be absolutely shocked what it would do once you just had it's. It's not the first person that does it. It's the second person that gets on board. And now all of a sudden you have a cascading effect. Okay, that's one way of doing it. So I'm saying this from experience, y'all. Partner, we talked about this a little bit in the guerrilla gardening thing where I was saying partner with, maybe people that have abandoned structures. Right now.
Or businesses.
Right, or businesses. Yeah. Okay, we've already talked about this in terms of, maybe they got several acres out back. Not doing anything with it. Okay, we talked about that, but let me throw another option out there. Right now, commercial real estate is taking a nosedive, and it's only going to get worse. Sadly, it's going to get much worse. A lot of residential properties are going to get bad too. So clearly, if you see residential property nobody's doing anything with, you see this. There was a guy named Saste in Kansas City. I wonder if he's still doing it.
Yeah.
He was basically requisitioning all these properties that were in the hood that nobody had, and they were turning them into farms. This is years ago. And his name was Saste, and he had a wife named Adenike. And as far as I know, they were still blowing up. I'll have to go and check it out. So anyway, think about those commercial structures that have for sale signs on them. Okay, I'm going to suggest something a little bit radical here. And the reason I'm suggesting it is because it's something we're in the process of actually doing ourselves. Okay, to kick things off and hit the next level that we want to do in terms of philanthropy and business and a number of other things, we need more space that's flat. So ask yourself, with all these places that all of a sudden are up for sale right now, I got news for you. If it's a commercial property, they ain't going to sell it. They can't sell it right now.
Right.
And they're not going to sell it for the foreseeable future. So somebody's still footing a bill on that property. So if you can go up, and I'm not going to go into any details right now, but one of the deals I got working is, hey, you got this property over there. You're trying to sell it. You can't sell it. They don't know that yet, but I know it. You can't sell it. But hey, I tell you what, why don't you consider a deal renting it to me, and better still, taking a page out of Greg Judy's book, I'm going to make them partners. I'm going to ask them to rent this to me, and they are going to be partners. And I'll tell you, if this deal goes through, and Lord, you know, and we pray that we ask that you pray to the Lord that it does work out if it is his will. This is one of the deals, the many deals I can have going. How many abandoned warehouses over there with for sale signs on them? They ain't selling them. Is there a business you could run out of there? I mean, they ain't making no money anyhow. So you might go ahead and hit them up.
Or if your business is food production, like if you're trying to get into food production, you don't care about the state of the building anyway.
No. Maybe you want to run some compost out of there. Maybe there's something else you want to do out of there. There's any number of things. Maybe it's a residence. I'm throwing out tons of opportunity. Let's say that property is sitting on X amount. Well, just like Joel says, or, you know, just like so many other people, you keep things mobile.
Yeah.
Maybe you can run chickens out there. They're not doing anything else with it. So maybe you partner with them and say, look, this thing is you're not doing anything with it. Here's, draw up a plan, design what, if you can, it's better if you can show them something you're already doing, but draw up a plan, say, look, here's what I intend to do with this. I am in the middle of doing that very thing right now. And in fact, I'm about to reach out on another property where I'm either and then here's the best part. And like I said, I got this one just recently from Greg Judy, where instead of just paying rent on here, why not make them partners to a certain extent, to a much lesser extent, where in lieu of rent or maybe with a serious discount, both of you are benefiting. You dig? Maybe they get some of what you're producing off that property and they just waive the rent completely. Believe me, I can make that deal. You can make that deal. It is entirely possible. And I'm sick and tired of people telling me what I can't do. You know, how many people told me I can't raise pigs for 21 cents a pound? How many people told me I can't raise chickens for free?
Or pigs without being dependent upon grain.
On grain, yeah, on a grain source. I've been told all this nonsense. And I've been told I can't buy property the way I've been buying it forever and a day. So I am giving y'all the goods out there. I want you to, I can't wait to hear this success story and say, Billy, you bonehead, I did it even better than you. Please tell me. I want to know so I can replicate it and tell everybody else about it. I mean, it's that one little thing I got from Greg. If I went to Greg Judy's school and I didn't get any other nugget of advice outside of grazing, that was worth the cost of tuition alone, son. Yeah. The idea of making the people you're going to rent from partners at a much lesser extent, but now they have a vested interest in seeing you achieve what it is. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, makes sense, yeah.
It makes great sense. And I'll tell you what, the deal I just laid down that's on the table right now, it wasn't no by any stretch. The next thing was, well, what are you planning to do? Okay, so, you know, I don't want to get out in front of my skis right now.
Right.
But I want to basically.
You guys will all know about it, though, if we acquire the property.
Yeah, when the time comes.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit on some of the old ones. Craigslist. Still great opportunities out there. And I gave you all the how-tos in the previous thing, where I initially got that Craigslist thing from Greg Judy, where you can go out there, say, look, I'm going to give you your full asking price. I gave you the whole scoop about that. But don't overlook that. And let's be honest here. Craigslist and tax liens are not going to be wonderful properties.
No, no. But you, if you're into permaculture, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't even matter. Because you know how to fix it. Exactly. That's why when we bought this place, everybody's like, oh, I don't know about that, man. That's too much of a steep. Well, we're making an everybody and the great-grandmother turned their head up on it. Well, when they drive by now, they're singing a different tune. I can guarantee
people
that.
People slow down when they drive by
now. They do. And they're going to be driving down even slower, too. But think about those properties, tax liens, the Craigslist things. 9 times out of 10, they're going to be bad properties. But you never stick your nose up at it when you know that you have a permaculture lens. Because I'm like, I'm looking at it. Let's say I go and get a tax lien.
Yeah.
Let's say the house has fallen in on itself. Let's say I actually acquire it. And let's say it's a junkie. Okay, if nothing else, there's a house there. Should it be raised to the ground? Possibly. But if not, I got it for, let's say, I've picked up tax liens in the past back in Oklahoma City, back when I was doing it for $500.
That's not bad.
$500.
Also, you have to check to see if your state does tax liens and stuff. Yeah. Some of them are tax liens. Some of them are tax deeds.
Right. Either way, there's still ways to get this on the courthouse steps. So there are options. And you don't, at the end of the day, I don't need to own that property. I just need to control it. Like next door.
Yeah.
One of the issues going on right now, I hit my neighbor up about this 10 acres next door. And, you know, it was in passing. I was talking to him about something else. And he says, well, we're not really doing anything with it. So let me talk to my brother-in-law because they're in this on a joint thing. And I'm like, okay, it's land that they think is worthless.
Yeah.
They can't do anything with it. But we have the know-how to fix it, maybe acquire it for a little while, improve it immeasurably, and then hand it back at the specified period of time.
Yeah, and then they get an improved parcel of land.
And it's also something else that I can go to other people like I can now, excuse me, where I can go to other people now and say, oh, you want to see my bona fides? Just like I talk about that thing in Texas where I'm on a construction job. Before it was all said and done, I got probably 30 acres thrown, 20, 30 acres when it's all said and done of land I can farm. If I were still there right now, y'all, I would be probably farming full-time other people's land that was easily acquired. And it can be done, y'all. Look, I am giving you just a snapshot. Everything I'm talking about here, I've either done or I'm in the process of doing right now. And I'm telling you, one of the big ones out there that nobody's talking about is commercial real estate because it can't do anything with it. So imagine just... Here, I want you to do this little mental game. If you're not driving, close your eyes. Because somebody's around something that's defunct or going that way. And I want you to think. Imagine, first of all, that you own this property. It's commercial property. You can't do nothing with it. You still got to pay the bills on this thing to somebody, almost certainly. Or let's say you own it free and clear. You still own taxes on it. If you're that owner, would you be thankful if anybody came to you with anything whatsoever? Would you at least seriously consider it? Because honestly, y'all, if y'all knew the deal we're working on right now, you'd think, ain't no way, good night. How is this even possible? But it looks like we have an extraordinary opportunity at an extraordinary opportunity. So if you're imagining yourself as that person that owns that land, that property, or at least paying on it, they would be thankful for any offer that would come across the table right now. At least consider it.
Everybody has a piece of land that they're thinking about right now.
Yes.
Like they're all picturing that commercial piece of property that's been abandoned for X period of time. And they've said, oh, that would be awesome if this turned into such and such.
So now think of it on the other coin, the other side of that coin, you, okay, as a person going to that person. You know, you put yourself in, and this is exactly what I do. I put myself in the position of the person that owns that property. And I'm imagining, I'm telling y'all this is exactly what I do. And because you were asking me how you're going to do this, and I told you how I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
This is how I do it. I mentally take myself out of myself and put myself in the position of the person that has this property. And I'm thinking, oh, good night. Okay, well, I'm paying taxes on this thing. What am I going to do? You're probably not going to be too favorable if somebody comes along with a song and dance, you know, you're only going to be insulted if anybody comes up with a deal that you know is ridiculous because you know the fair market value of that land. But if you don't have to sell the land and all of a sudden a person comes to you with their hat in their hand saying, hey, they're not going to say it this way. I'm not going to say it this way as, hey, I know you're in a bind, but but I got a way that might you might get out of it. And let's say, okay, on this property, here's what I want to do. I want to put, I mean, make them a partner.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
You know what? I'm growing meat over here. I'll cut you in for 10% in lieu of rent, or maybe you knock that rent off.
Or you get a pig or yeah. something like that.
You know what? I'll handle all your swine needs, you know? Maybe I can run cows on this thing. Maybe chickens. Everybody right now knows of a commercial property that is in a bind right now. And if nothing else, you know, if you're going to do a lease with them, then you want to make sure it's a long-term lease. Please read Greg Judy's books, because the same exact thing applies for a regular lease.
Right.
I've gone quite long on this, y'all. It's a topic because I'm passionate about it. Whether you're requisitioning public land, which I have no problem doing, or whether you're out there thinking about commercial properties, y'all, if you have some great ideas, by all means, email me, billy@permapastorsfarm@gmail.com. Let me know, but honestly, let me know the deals. Look, it makes me happy beyond words knowing that this show is a whole lot less important for the things we're saying than for the things it makes you do. Buying Twitter like he gon' save us. Left and right squabbling while he got chips for your heads, calling him courageous. No way, no. I answer to no one, start calling me Nado. Digital cheese on the way, though. Get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer. I need another booster. Before I hit the beach, BLM on my koozie. Oh, yeah.
You want to announce the winners first?
Yeah, go ahead and do that, son.
All right. You want to go ahead and explain it, and I'll get this ready?
All right. So for the 100th episode, we had, these fantastic coasters are 1 through 4. Okay. They're actually stamped on there. B&B Machine Inc. Please check them out. They're doing a whole lot of awesome stuff. These young men are knocking it out of the park. In fact, their dad sent me a text the other day of an upper they just created. It looks sharp, man. They can do some really awesome.
Can you be talking about that,
Dad? Yeah, I think it's cool. There's nothing. Anyway, it's a slide I think they made, actually, and it looks fantastic. Anyway, it says right on them, they're in the plastic, so if you're watching on YouTube, you're not going to be able to tell it. It says Permaculture Pimp Cast, 100th episode, 1 through 4. We said the people with the 4 best reviews, we're going to get it. So we're going to go from back to front. These are, when I say special, they're only 4 on planet Earth. Thanks everybody for putting them out there, but we're going to go ahead and give them away now. Son, go ahead.
Well, I'll start off with, I wrote it down like 1, 2, 3, 4. So I'll write it or read it that way. The first one y'all heard last episode was Strider 47. And his comment was, you know what time it is, nephew? Time to stop listening to marchies, politicians, polecats, pedos, and purple breathers that ought to pluck around and find out. It's time to wake up and smell the corruption or fall asleep drinking the hemlock.
Damn!
It's time to find out what the non-aggression principle has in common with nitrogen fixers, apples, and pears. Time to stay alert and stay alive. Time for 2 practical solutions for every problem. It's time to check out the Permaculture Pimp Cast, where permaculture is my passion.
Yeah, he's number one, y'all. He got number one. So, Strider, William, what's the email to get a hold of you?
permapastorsfarm@gmail.com. We already got all his information, okay, though. And then coming in second place was Don Smith, and this was on the YouTube channel. This is where he left his comment. And it was on episode 100. Billy and William, thank you for your dedication to our homesteading efforts. Because of you, I am pursuing a permaculture orchard growing comfrey, which is my most healthy crop at this point. Knowledge of rotational grazing and the power of composting. My wife and I love your videos and Pimp Cast. Finally, thank you for the recommendation of One Straw Revolution. I soon will be doing a book review of that on my own YouTube channel. May Jehovah continue to bless the work of your hands.
Yeah. Hey, Don, let us know your YouTube channel.
Plus, it might be Don Smith. It might be.
I think it's the same Don. Anyway, you're second place, but Don also, if you're the same Don I'm thinking of, he may wind up with 30 minutes on this program.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll see.
Cool.
We'll see. I got to get him some
answers.
That was
by complete chance.
Yeah,
y'all.
No, I didn't know. I didn't poison the well. I got to get him some answers. So, and you know, good answers at that.
Wow. That's awesome. Now, third place is Snow Farms, Oklahoma. And if you give me a minute, I'll pull that up. But she was one of the ones that was talking about contacting the butcher. Yeah, here's Snow Farms, Oklahoma. What an awesome episode. I reached out to her about butchering classes. I'm stoked because we were only 2 hours away from her. Thanks so much for the amazing episode. We recently had an experience where my husband and I realized how much butchers had been keeping from us in product. That is a whole other story, though. Keep up the awesome work, Billy and William. Hashtag tip a pimp.
Oh, thank you so much. And, yeah, you get third place. But, yeah, hey, y'all, please give this girl. She's dealing with pressures. Doing what she is the only person doing this in the entire state, okay? I mean, there's nobody like her doing it.
Yeah.
And if you know anybody, if you can throw her some business, whatever the case may be, you know, tell her the Permaculture Pimp Daddy sent you. But I'm glad. And, you know, I'm going to actually be in Oklahoma probably late August. Not sure. I'm there to go butcher something. It's like a private thing for
go butcher something. Like yeah. You don't even know what animal it is.
Well,
yet.
Hey, maybe it's some little marchy. I don't know what they're gonna put in front of me. But no, I'm kidding about that part.
It's gonna be a pig, right?
Well, yeah, I'm gonna be doing a couple of pigs, but it's like it's for my best friend. You saw him in a video a while back, and talked to him today. I'm not sure. We're going to do anything like, you know, have a party there on anything like that.
Or a I think class it's, or anything.
He's getting with his son-in-law to find out exactly. I was thinking, well, do we want to do a class? And I'm like, you know, I don't think that's going to work out with the parameters they have going.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, you know, if I'm going to be out there, maybe there might be some opportunity for a meetup or something. If anybody's interested, let me know.
Is there a place to meet up in Oklahoma?
Well, it's Oklahoma. I mean, I'm sure something in Oklahoma City. I mean, Bricktown or... something okay. Or Norman or something else or something near Dion's place somewhere. I mean, there's Blanchard. He lives up in Edmond. I don't know. I thought about maybe there might be some kind of – I mean, I don't think – I'm thinking – I'll be honest with you. Having a meetup and, like, one person shows up or nobody shows up. Like, I mean, I don't think that much of myself, so I wouldn't imagine a whole lot of people will show up anyway. Probably be Glenn and Dion. I don't know.
Well, he has a comment, actually, I was going to read earlier.
Glenn?
Yeah, and it had to do with your carnivore diet.
Oh, okay.
He said, yeah, try a carnivore diet and your bathroom turns into a crime scene.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's I'm just getting over to the other side.
Hold on. Yeah, it turns into a crime scene, and then after that, it collects dust because you ain't been in there for a while.
Well, I think I'm – yeah, we
one
won't spend –
all right,
so
other.
Let's move on to the next one before people right. start getting grossed
so number
out.
Number four is Warrior in the Garden. And their comment was, for tick prevention, keeping the deer out is key. I can't read. There's a glare on the computer. Sorry. There are also cedar-based products for yard management, but they are not safe for areas chickens go through. For body protection, the only thing I have found that works is spray clothes, boots, not skin, with Sawyer's permethrin.
So that's fourth place?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's given tips on how to keep ticks away. It stays on for 6 washes. Also, proper gear is important when working in high-risk areas.
Yeah, you deserve it now. Yeah. Okay, I was wondering where we were going with this. I was like, I thought we got out of whack. Yeah,
no.
You deserve that one.
Yeah.
So you get one, too. Everybody reach out to permapastorsfarm@gmail.com, all of our winners. And we thank everybody out there.
Yeah.
And honestly, hey, I want also, if you know, look, there are the normal people out there that people are going to want to interview for podcasts and farm podcasts and stuff like that. If you know some extraordinary person out there that is doing extraordinary stuff, and there's a lot of you in this listening audience, you know, somebody not too far off the mark of somebody like Tiffany, somebody that will encourage anybody to get in the game doing this, particularly women out there that are doing something that typically women don't do.
And we're not talking about like your nephew making fidget spinners in his basement or something.
Yeah,
we're talking about like legit businesses.
Well, like, you know,
or
Tiffany,
something great.
I don't know that she said it online, but some of the stuff that she has to put up with where somebody will hire her and then, you know, the dad's out in the yard, he's got clicks of beer, puts a lawn chair in front of her, and he's sitting there, you know, putting her through a bunch of crap and she's more than once said, hey, I got a 30-06 that I took that cow out with, and I got a bunch of knives. You want to keep this up? I mean, man, I like this girl, man. I think you and her mom, I think your mom and her would get along great. Yeah, man, I can't wait to have her on because there's so much more to her story. Anyway, thanks, everybody, for putting them out. Hey, if you want, please keep up the great – tell everybody out there you possibly can of what we're doing here.
Dad has permanently removed the V from everybody.
Everybody. I'm almost kind of liking it because it's just economy, you know? Economy of speech, which is usually not a good thing because it leads to Ebonics.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Or Newspeak.
So, Andy, he sent this one. I'm going to condense it a little bit. He's doing a whole lot of stuff, and there's a whole lot of people out there with some great emails. He's basically has a landscape business, and he's looking to find a way to get his PDC to make this transition from doing what he's doing into more permaculture. I got to say, Andy, that's probably a really good call right now. As far as where to go for those, School of Permaculture has an inexpensive way of getting it. That's still available. Excuse me. Also, Jeff Lawton, the best PDC you're going to find online. Now, I'm real cautious about anything that's in person right now because there's going to be a lot of stuff in a lot of these PDCs, especially in our local area here near Asheville, where it's going to be social permaculture, which has its place. But if you're all about
the fact, after food gets squared away, it has its place.
Yeah, it's like there's a whole lot of storytellers out there, but not a whole lot of people growing food or some of the stuff you want to do. Those are the two best sources I can offer right now.
Yeah, well, also, I would stay away from the universities because that's just going to guarantee the purple breathers. Got one from Jen in Indy on the Fountain app. Congratulations, William, on your sweet baby blessing. And Billy, when you said... you're either an activist or inactivist. That hit me. Thanks for everything you do. # tip a pimp. Yeah. I mean, either, like Dad says, either way you're involved. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, you have to, like, you can't just sit there and not do anything or just allow everybody else to pick up the slack anymore.
Well,
or else,
like,
you're going to get left behind.
It's like Tiffany actually said, she didn't say this, but she brought up Tony Robbins. And I remember reading Waking the Giant Within. It kind of brought, because I got the book right on the shelf out there. I'm thinking about knocking the dust off of it and going through it again. But one of those things that he says in there is like, okay, so you're one of those people, I know these people that spend or don't make a decision. I don't want to make a bad decision. Well, you just made a decision.
Yeah.
By not making the decision. So same thing with activism.
You made the decision to be indecisive.
Yes. My man Eric up here in northern Michigan, man. Him and his brothers, we met at the Self-Reliance Festival. Had me and your mom in stitches. I can't wait to see these guys again. They even started a YouTube channel, but they don't want to kick it off just yet. I'll tell you what, man, if they throw some of the humor in there like they did with us, people are going to be peeing on themselves because they're just naturally, I mean, they're awesome. You know, they could tell a story. They're guys, I saw their video that they did, and it's stuff that's legit.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're all about preparedness. I mean, it's all under one hat, and they're wicked smart. He says, I'm getting a delivery of 120 yards. That's a full semi-load of wood chips from a local sawmill. Normally, these go to the paper mill as they're screened and ready to use for paper production. I also have an unlimited supply of cardboard that I get from a pallet at a time from a local grocery store. I like to prep the areas to plant next year, so my question is, do I need to do anything else to the ground before soaking the cardboard and laying out the mulch? Given the huge area I can cover, I don't have the compost to cover it all. How much is too much for layers of cardboard in inches of mulch?
Oh, well, like when we were sheet mulching at Jeff Lawton's farm, he said that Bill Mollison would say, fold the Sunday newspaper in half, and that's a good start.
Yeah.
As far as, like, thickness on your carbon-like layer. I think the limit, Jeff Lawton, I think, said the limit was 3 feet before the area between your cardboard and your ground goes anaerobic.
So you got a lot of room there, nephew.
Yeah.
But also, if you're going to do plant starts, let me give you a little... time saving, and it's also a material saving tip. Now, if you go through, do the instant garden with this stuff, I don't think that's what you intend since you got a lot of cardboard there. So you can go quite thick on the cardboard, first of all. The wood chips, here's what I would do, and you're going to build soil in record time. Get your cardboard laid out, get it nice and wet, put your wood chips on top of it. I would go in each one of those places since you don't have enough compost to cover it all, just make little holes through that,
yeah.
Fill that cylinder with compost and go with it. In fact, before I did all that, I would actually take a broad fork. I don't know the condition of the ground, but no matter what it is, no matter where we put a garden like that or anything like that, we always broad fork the crap out of it because it's only going to speed up the microbial life and the processes that go on. So I would broad fork it, lay your cardboard down, wet it up, do all the stuff you got to do, and then make little cylinders. That way you can economize your compost.
Now, as far as like inches and of mulch, I mean, you're not going to go, like, I don't think you're going to go too heavy.
No, I...
But, like, keep it within reason, if that makes sense. I don't want to give you, like, okay, it's got to be 5 inches, because there are areas where you could do a little bit more, a little bit less.
Well, or, plus some of these wood chips are probably not aged.
Well, you might want to take
a fair,
too.
You might want to take a fair piece of them and just set them off for about a year.
Yeah, do they smell like the tree that they got cut up from?
If they still have that smell, then you already got, yeah, you're already putting yourself behind an eight ball, so... You might want to dry them out even before you even think about doing that. So,
well,
you,
that's going to be, it's going to be fighting the microbes that are trying to turn it into a compost, right?
What's that?
The compounds that are still in the tree, they haven't broken down yet.
Yeah, you
so
want it, you
they're
going to
be
aged.
Fighting the microbes that create soil.
If you, let's say it's whatever tree it is, and you can still smell the smell of that tree, you shouldn't smell anything but wood chips. If you can smell anything coming off of it, if it's fresh, then you want to rethink that. Using them if you possibly can,
right?
Or if you don't mind, you know, setting them, you could set them there and just let it age in place.
Yeah,
you could absolutely do that. I mean, the worms are going to break it down on the backside. I've seen it, like the pile I was at just the other day. Good night. Some of the best compost you're ever going to see. I saw in the bottom of a wood chip pile. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can lay it up there. There's a number of options on there.
Got one from Flyover Joe on the Fountain app. Excellent episode. She's a highly motivated person and a fighter. Very inspirational story. Thank you for the bonus. Here's some stashtoshis, the way you pronounce it.
Yeah.
He spelled it the way you pronounce it. Here's some stashtoshis for your wallet, Billy. Hashtag tip a pimp. Hashtag backyard butchery.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Everybody reach out to her. If nothing else, I mean, you may not be able to use her services, but just tell her, just give her a word of encouragement, because that girl's tough. And, she's doing a pretty tough thing. I was so glad. And I want to give a shout out also to Darren over at Hacks for the Homesteader for making me aware of her. Right here, got one from, okay, this is the only kind of thing where you get a picture like this, and it's where people can send you pictures of poop. And it's
is
a
that what that is?
Yeah, pictures of cow manure. Thanks, Jeffrey. Yeah, you go off and run and make some wonderful stuff out of that.
I got a comment on YouTube channel. From the Andy Pearson, Tonganoxie, that's my hometown. That's my town, gentlemen. I walk/drive by where that happened. That's crazy. I grew up in Tonganoxie. I did most of my schooling in Tonganoxie.
Small world. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's a nice place. All right, so for Matthew, congratulations. Congratulations to William, Emily, and the Permaculture Princess. You are constantly in my prayers, and thank you. You guys, we pray for y'all, too. I'm almost done with my first attempt at the 18-day compost pile. I've sent a picture when it's all done. It's nice to work outside and listen to some common sense, which is hard to come by. Whenever I'm in the garden, I'm finding myself saying, turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Neighbors think I'm crazy, especially the one who sprays his yard with a mosquito seal. Y'all have a nice day. Thanks so much, Matthew.
I got one from the Stubbs on the YouTube channel. And by the way, the YouTube channel is linked down below, y'all. It's the Permaculture Pimpcast. He says, the interstate system, thanks to Eisenhower, is thanks to Nazis obtained through Operation Paperclip.
Absolutely.
That's why and how our technology boomed between the 40s and 80s. We got the best, and Russia got the second-rate scientists, engineers, and mathematicians. Our interstates are built the same way they are, so our military can easily mobilize if a war were to happen here at home or from within.
Actually, there's some occulted history you might find interesting. There was a guy on with Lou Rockwell that claims that, I always thought that too, that we got the best through Operation Paperclip. But there is a strong argument to be made. Man, I wish I could remember this guy's name, who made the claim that no, actually Russia got the best of it, but we had better conditions, so these guys performed a little bit better. But yeah, they went in and got the Nazi intelligentsia. Sadly, up until a couple of years ago, I would try to talk to people about Operation Paperclip. What's the first thing you think came out of their mouth?
That's a conspiracy theory.
Right. And you know what? It was even in pop culture, like in Captain America.
like Winter Soldier.
No, it was Captain. It was either Captain
Every
America.
One of them.
Well, yeah.
Every one of them, there's been some information.
Well, this one here, they openly talked about Operation Paperclip. It was Civil War, I think. I'm not sure exactly which. But it was one of those Captain Americas where they actually talked about Operation Paperclip. And then people, now that Hollywood talked about it, all of a sudden started talking about it. Yeah, a lot of wicked stuff happened under that, y'all. And a lot of those Nazi Mangala types, yeah, we brought them in and hit them in places like Argentina, but they were still working for us. Yeah, yeah. A lot of real nasty stuff there, y'all. A lot of occulted history that I could really spend podcast talking about. So we got one from Sheila. Hi, Billy. I purchased a bone saw to get rid of the deer problem in my chicken pen. I have a perimeter. I have the perimeter one, premier one, poultry netting, fencing my chicken. I painted the bone saws on every pole, 400 feet of fencing. Still have deer problem jumping in to eat my grain and other stuff. Okay, can you give me some help? Told her I would answer this on the podcast. On every pole, so I'm wondering, if you put it on those fiberglass poles that came on the Premier One chicken fencing,
I don't think it's going to stay very long.
Yeah, it ain't going to stay after the first rain. It's got to be on a wooden surface. If that's where you put it, maybe I'm misunderstanding exactly what was there. First of all, I want to thank you and everybody else for your purchase. Remember, y'all, bone sauce is not a panacea. It is designed for orchard systems to keep them off the trees. Now, a number of people have used it for garden settings. That was never what it was intended for, but a lot of people have had fantastic results using it that way. So, I guess I'm going to need a little bit more information. They said they're still jumping into the pen and eating the grain and my other plant and trees inside the chicken pen. I don't know what trees I would put around
chickens. That might be your chickens, dude.
Yeah.
That might be your chickens causing damage.
Yeah. Usually that's not a wonderful symbiosis with, fruit
chickens
trees
and
chickens.
Trees, yeah.
Yeah, because they're usually going to tear up the mulch ring. It's usually a bad thing.
It's too much disturbance for the tree at that stage of its life.
Right. So what you want to do, if you can, if you are putting it on a plastic post, don't do that. The best solution, first of all, you're going to need to put that right on the tree. Or any woody thing. Make sure you don't get it on the green leaves. It won't kill the tree, but it will wilt those leaves. So anything at browsing height, I'd even go up to 6 feet. Paint every bit of that bone sauce around the base of that tree and around, obviously, the limbs.
Your tree is going to be the best bet. It's going to be way better than painting it on the fiberglass or any other material. If it's painted on like a wooden surface like a tree, it's supposed to last like 25 to 30 years.
Yeah, it can last a really, really long time, depending on the growth state of that tree. If it's still young, you're going to have to reapply in a few years because the girth of that tree is getting bigger. So, but if it's already mature, then, yeah, so I'm not... Now, what other people have done have taken wooden stakes and put the bone sauce on that stakes around the areas they want to protect with great, with great success. I will say that it is not a panacea. It is the best stuff money can buy. There is nothing on this planet that I'm aware of that works better. Put your bars of soap out, put your hair out, put whatever it is.
Yeah.
I ain't ever seen a close second to bone sauce.
The deer walk right past the bar of soap.
Well, they walk past all the trees I put the bone sauce on to hit the one that I didn't.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, so, yeah, so it works. It, we're seeing a lot of weird things in deer, too, also. But if this stuff doesn't work, y'all, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it's the best out there, bar none.
I got one from Dusty and Chelsea McClellan. Look at Charlotte Mason's explanation of narration. That's exactly why teaching makes you learn it better. It's the habit of attention and the skills of composition and narration.
Well, perfectly said.
Yep.
Yep.
That's for mom.
Yep. She's going to read that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Donald says, hey, sometimes back in one of your episodes, you drilled a series of holes in the logs for inoculated with mushrooms. Maybe I missed it, but I never seen the follow-up results. Were you able to harvest mushrooms? No, Don. It wasn't put in a good place. It was in a place where it still got some sunlight. And even at the highest points, I mean, we thought it was covered. It wasn't. It wasn't adequate. But there are some other places out there that would work better, probably under the front porch.
Yeah, under the front porch I think would work better. We put it underneath the back porch, and it just got way too much. I think we put it in there. It was cold out when we did it. So we may have done it at a time where that wouldn't get sun, and then summer came around and changed all that.
Yeah, so that wound up being wood for the bone sauce pile. The one I keep screwing up.
got one from Susquehanna Homestead. Great show, guys. Speaking of counties trying to leave Oregon, can you give a shout out to the New York Split the State movement? Upstate New York is being ruined by the politics of New York City, and the movement has yet to be successful because most New Yorkers don't know of it. Thanks.
You're absolutely right. My wife and all her family are from upstate New York. And these are some of the most conservative folks you'll ever find.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah. There's just like North Carolina, Tennessee, stuff like that.
It's all the freakazoids that surround themselves, and they call the shots. I think we're going to need a national divorce in so many different ways. I wish I had time to read this all, but it came from Shelley. She basically, it was such a heartwarming thing. Shelley's such a sweetheart.
Two Old Crows Homestead?
Yeah, Shelley from Two Old Crows Homestead.
.com.
Yep, turn that simp into a pimp. You know that, Shelley?
Yeah.
Yeah, she wrote this really awesome thing. I got to respond to her. Seven grandchildren later, it's just very moving and heartwarming what she writes here. You know how when I see a baby, man, I just become just like, you know, muddled. I just love babies. And, you know, you just feel like you just want to protect them and just hug them and squeeze them and all that kind of stuff. But she has seven grandchildren later, and they know they're truly blessed. So, yeah, always a blessing to hear from Shelley. I can't wait to see her.
Got one from Elaine S5179 on the YouTube channel. Yes, I-95 bridge after Representative Higgins from Louisiana bridge, militia-like remark, and zero evidence of FBI presence at the site after the crash smelled to high heaven. If they suspected it was deliberate, it was severely suppressed. Was it an attempt to spur greater violence?
I don't know.
That bridge falling in a, what was it?
Up in Philly. No, it was Philly.
Yeah.
All I know as a person who knows a little bit about such things, and it used to be my job to know how to do such things, I'm telling you, I am calling BS on the whole story. The motive, I don't know. Is it to stifle whatever? I mean, the whole motive, I don't know. All I know is you ain't telling me a tanker that hit that abutment took down a whole bridge. I know for a fact that did not happen.
Yeah.
So there's some, and it doesn't break like that. There'd be deformations. There's all kinds of things that happen. It doesn't come off as one solid piece.
Hey, real quick, I just saw this comment. This is pertaining to the admitting our fears, the one you did with mom. This is from Daniil, I think. Hey, pimps, thank you for the encouragement on pushing through my fears. I am 51, still dealing with crap from my childhood. Been really struggling this last year. We almost purchased a place on 30 acres last year, but I totally chickened out. Now I'm kicking my own butt for not trying. I'm not sure what you're trying to say there, but thank you for sharing your stories. So much appreciated. Love your YouTube and PimpCast. Peace.
Oh, thank you so much. And I'm glad it's a blessing to you. It's always tough to do those kind of episodes because honestly, I'm a man, you know, and we don't like to admit our fears, but man, I just hoped and prayed that it would be of some help to somebody. But I tell you what, all is not lost. We just did an episode on how you can get property from a commercial place or, you know, no, I mean, but all kidding aside, look,
there's more land.
Yeah. You're going to have other shots there. Maybe it was in the cards for you to go ahead and just kind of move on from this. But honestly, at some point we just got to stand up and for you to reach out to us like that and lay yourself bare is, it tells me that you're going to do big things. So as a fellow 51-year-old person, I'm expecting good things from
you. Yeah, you old-timers are knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, that's how we do it. All right, so Jeffrey says, can I mix leaves? He's asking about the chicken tractor on steroids. Can I mix leaves with cow manure for the bottom, then grass, then mixture of cow manure and leaves mixed together on top? So, yeah, there's a number of ways you can do it. You just want to try to get your ratio in that pile. Ultimately, the chickens are going to do a lot of the work and they're going to add a lot more nitrogen to it. But in that system, there's no reason you couldn't absolutely do that. You just want to make sure that you're not too heavily balanced on one way or the other in terms of carbon and nitrogen.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, be careful of how much manure you're putting in there. In that ratio, it sounded like quite a bit of manure. You don't want that, like it shouldn't be a third or 50% of the pile or anything.
Yeah, you
like
just want to make sure you don't go too crazy with it. So
the chickens are going to be like eating out of there and pooping in there as well. So they're going to be adding like really high nitrogen to the ring.
Right. So about 50-50, you'll be all right. I mean, you're going to have to play with it. I mean, that's the thing with compost. There's no definite recipe. You just got to know remediation. That's why we've been doing those that series of classes over on Patreon. Hey, want to give a shout out here to Tim, man. He sent me these tree tags, and he put it in his hand so I could see it.
Oh, wow.
And these are like, this is something I can work with. Well, just before this show, not long before I saw that thing about the trans testicles, I went and ordered some. So I want to thank you very much for doing that.
Some tree tags. It looks like you're like pushing into the metal.
Yeah, we got another one from Matthew who says, sorry for sending this email back to back. The situation came up. I'm 18 years old. Currently in indoctrination camp, which is college for him, studying agriculture. I know. I didn't know anything about farm internships until after I finished my first two. Anyway, he says he's planning on doing Jeff Lawton's PDC, but check this out. Situation is that my neighbor has noticed that I've been growing a good-sized garden, taking care of chickens, and that we have bees. She said to me, quote, if you want to farm more, I have 16 acres that we don't do anything with. And they're looking for somebody to use and use permaculture methods. I'm like, that's like
awesome.
That's like getting money from home without writing.
That's getting land without having to purchase anything.
Well, he says, my question is, what do you think? Is it a smart idea for me to try it out? Second is, what are some of the questions I get? Well, no. It may not be a wonderful idea. Let me just break this down real quick. We need to spend some time on this. I know we're getting long in the tooth on this show, but I don't know that anybody's going to complain. I hope
not. We're good.
Is it a smart idea to try it out? Well, 16 acres, believe it or not, if you're going from a regular city yard to 16 acres, that's an enormous task. So you don't have to use all 16 acres right off.
I say do it. I say even if the land is crappy, no matter what stage the land is in, if it has animals on it already, if it's completely, like it could be a nuclear waste site, do it.
Well, you don't
because
know
you're
going to
learn. It doesn't even matter. Just do it. Get a hold of that land and then just try everything because you're going to learn more on that piece of land, on somebody else's land. I'm not saying leave it in a worse condition or anything like that. Leave it in better condition. But you're going to learn so much on that 16 acres, being able to experiment and just implement whatever it is you're wanting to.
Before you do anything on there, yeah, you're already doing the right thing by doing a PDC. Because if you do the PDC after, you're going to make a whole lot of mistakes. Nobody says you got to start tomorrow. You might even want to get a consultation from Eric Sider. Because you're going to also learn in that PDC that you never want to design your own land. Because you need to be very dispassionate about it. I think it may be a tremendous opportunity, but I strongly encourage you to finish your PDC. So many people want to jump on and make a move, and then you're going to find out, oh, shoot, I should have put in my swales first. It's that kind of stuff you're going to. So as far as questions.
You could easily bring, like you could expand what you already know, though. Like, if you know that, like, or okay, chickens are mobile. You can move them out of the way if something has to get dug or something like that. Gardens can be temporary. So, I mean, just do what you know for now. Don't go crazy yet. Get your education and then implement what you learned there.
But also, you know, do that PDC. Maybe go out there, ask if you can walk the land, look around, start small. If this is something you can even manage right now, you're a full-time college student. And this, you may have had a gold mine fall into your lap. Remember what I was just talking about a minute ago? This might, if they see what you're doing there, like I talked a while back, if you show that you can be a good steward, maybe just start with a small piece, do something worthwhile with it. If you can do that and then show that, oh shoot, you're capable of more, you may even inherit that land, nephew, because there's a whole lot of folks out there. Joe Salatin talks a lot about it. Whole lot of folks out there that don't want to just sell their land, but they're practically giving it away because they want to see it come back to something. It may be this former glory that they remember as a child, you know? So yeah, there's a lot to consider there, but honestly, do your PDC and honestly reach out to Eric and get some advice from him because he can spend more time on you.
Yeah.
Dad,
I'm over here sweating in this studio.
I'm sweating too. Heard William on the confessionals talking about comforting. My wife has severe eczema. She's wondering if the salve will help for that.
Absolutely.
Well, I told him, I don't know. I mean,
eczema, that's one thing we get often, as far as like this, the comfrey salve fixes eczema.
Well, I'm not saying it's going to make it go away, but it'll probably help with the pain.
It'll help relieve the eczema for sure.
And then last one, Zachary saying, does it work on horses? Bone sauce. Just secured a 10-acre property in North Texas. The only downside, there are 3 horses. You know, I don't know. I really don't know if it'll work on horses. Man, we've had people, you know, I don't know that anybody's ever said it. We've heard people say that it worked on bulls out in Hawaii.
Horses are so doggone picky anyway, though, it might not be an issue.
A lady up in Alaska's tried it on moose.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I really do not know. If you put it all up and down that bark, browsing height, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I think horses are too picky anyway. Like, based on...
They'll eat those leaves. Yeah, they will.
Maybe. I mean... Not if there's a scent of bone sauce or something like that.
Maybe not. I don't know. Make sure, once again, don't get it on the green. All right, y'all, I know this went like a half an hour longer than it normally does, but hey, we had to cover all this, and I'm sorry for losing. No, I ain't sorry for nothing, y'all. Till next time, say alert.
Stay alive.